maybe there are some limitations about the technological affordance and the barriers, and also about the different experiences with the e-assessment. Are there any, I would say, tips that you would like to add about designing an e-assessment with limited technological affordance?
That's a good question. So if you've got to go down the sort of e-assessment type route, so as long as you can get sort of the questions out to the students, so that may be, say, using sort of a smartphone. So again, I think you could do it in terms of a limited, you know, you get the information out to students that the exam will, you know, you will be able to view the questions from wherever, 9 o'clock. So you could even, that could even be sent as a, as an email, or some kind of, you know, whatever, you know, like a WhatsApp message or whatever to a group of students. So you could warn them that the questions were going out at a particular time. And then you could then, I'm just trying to think. You could do something whereby a student is able to handwrite some answers and then with a sort of smartphone, take a picture of it and then upload that back up at a set time, so they have a certain amount of time in which to do the response and then get it back in. So they don't have to type something down on a computer as such. They could just write it on a piece of paper and then take a picture, and you could still then deploy the time aspect, which we know makes a big difference.
Yeah.
The big issue is how do you know students are who they, you know, the person who's actually done the work, is it, how do you know that's the actual student? So I suspect the only way in which you can do that, because if you're going to use, say, a sort of smartphone, then it's really hard to be able to have some kind of sort of proctoring going on. So I think at that point, all you've got to be able to do is probably, depending on the number of students involved, but pull some students for some kind of Viva examination and just get them to talk through their answers, or talk through some similar answers. And if they've done that work in the past, they've done the work for the exam, they ought to be able to answer those kind of questions. Mm-hmm. And if they haven't, then you sort of decide what you're going to do from there. But I think that's about the only way in which you can actually get some kind of indication. We're contemplating having remote exams or online exams for the majority of our qualification, but then perhaps having the very final pieces of assessment on the very last modules in a qualification as face to face examinations. So as a sort of like a sort of keystone measure. So, you know, students, if the, sounds horrible, but students could cheat the way all the way through, but they can't actually get the qualification unless they do a face-to-face examination, and at that point you can be assured that person is who they say they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you've just got to work out how many students, because we're having to jump through all these different hoops because we think some students might cheat. Well, how prevalent is that situation? So it might actually only be a very, you know, I suspect in our situation it's a very small number of students. It's probably less than 1%.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having to do all this extra work just to catch the 1%. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be careful you don't disadvantage the other 99% by putting in all sorts of things where you're only trying to catch the 1%. So I think it's just a sort of trying to ascertain from your own institution perspective, how much of an actual problem are you dealing with? And you don't want to take a massive hammer to crack a problem when it's actually a relatively small problem. But I think it's the sort of prevalence of the essay mills or getting someone else to do your work, particularly where you can't put it through some kind of software to analyze the responses, is the tricky bit.
Yeah.